I think about welcoming him into our world of violence and hatred and strife and contention. And I think about the fact that nobody had to force him to come. He did it because he loves us. You think about the fact that, you know, he didn't just look at the sin and just want to destroy us. He looked at the sin and he took it upon himself. And you know, we're told to bear with one another's burdens, and sometimes we're so unwilling. The next time we feel unwilling to bear another person's burdens because it isn't our fault, I want you to look at the cross. I want you to look at Jesus in that manger, that innocent little child who came. You know, the next time that I'm feeling that hateful thought and I'm thinking I just can't take it anymore, I'm going to look at Jesus and I'm going to say, he took it for me. He took every evil thing upon himself. I'm talking from the beginning of time all the way to the end of time. He took it all. And it just, you know, it touches my heart that he would do that for me. Because, man, I'm not worth it. I'm going to tell you, I am not worth it. But he said I was. That's pretty amazing. When we come together, we come together to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we think about, you know, what makes it so special? You know, there's 360,000 births around the world a day. Do you know that? That kind of blew me away. That's a lot of births. And I started thinking about, you know, that one birth. Man, we've been celebrating for 2,000, about 2,050 years or so now, celebrating this birth. And there's not everybody celebrating it, but we celebrate it because we know Jesus. We know about him. We know that he's good. And so, you know, we think about what is it that made that birth so special. And you know, we can come up with a lot of answers just off the cuff, but really, it's because of who he is. It's because of who that baby really was that was in that manger that made it so special. And so what child is this? I just thought we'd read a few scriptures today just to kind of contemplate and meditate on who this child was who was in that manger. And you know, scripture has a lot to say about it. I'm assuring you, I didn't get exhaustive in the ones I chose. I just prayed and asked God to give me his heart for this message today. All of the Bible really is pointing forward to Jesus from the Old Testament. And the rest of it's pointing to Jesus in the New Testament. And then we get to Revelation and we know that's pointing forward to Jesus coming again. So as sure as you know that he came that first time, that's what I want you to really hold on to today. Just as sure as it was prophesied for thousands of years before, and he did it, he came, then the prophecy of him coming again is just as true. He is coming again, and I'll tell you, this world ain't going to be like this forever, praise God. All the hatred and the strife and the contentions and all of the ugliness that we see someday will not be anymore. And so let's just hang on to Jesus for that day, but until then, let's think about who that child was in that manger, and I think it'll make the Christmas time even more and more special for us as we do that. First one that I come across is one that we preached last week from Colossians 1, verse 15 and then 19. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness of God in that little manger that day. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I want you to think about what great pain that God took in making sure that Jesus was born in exactly the right place as well. You know, when we think about the Christmas story, we think about how he was born in Bethlehem, right? How did he get there? Was that where his parents lived? Y'all are pretty familiar with the story. How did he wind up in Bethlehem anyways? There was a census. And yeah, they were counting people, but that wasn't all they were doing. They were collecting taxes, right? So even God can even use the IRS to bring forth his plan, right? And so he brought Mary and Joseph right there to Bethlehem, just like it said in the scripture, for that baby to be born there, the baby Jesus. And y'all remember the story. You know, this is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Where was he born? In Bethlehem, but he was born in a fancy hotel, right? Where kings would be born. No, there wasn't any room in any of the inns, you know, in a stable, in a place for animals. And he was, his first cradle, his first bed was a feed trough. Wow. Talking about humble. You know, it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of God would dwell. Wow. If we ever get to feeling like we're pretty important and we need special treatment, we better be careful, because there was no one more important than Jesus. And he humbled himself to be born in a manger, or in a barn and laid in a manger. So as we think about that, what a beautiful picture that is. So let's continue on. There were some others that had something to say about this child. If y'all remember the way the story goes, it got announced to some people. And so it got announced to all the kings of the earth first, right? Not quite. We had heavenly messengers who came and made an announcement. And those heavenly messengers, the angels, this is what they said the night of his birth about him. Do y'all remember who they announced it to first? Shepherds. Yes, the lowest of society. So the King of glory, all the fullness dwelling in this little child, all the fullness of God, in a barn among the animals, because there wasn't enough room in the world for him. And who did the angels go to announce? The most humble of all the people in society, the shepherds. And let's see what they have to say about this child. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Amen. My goodness. He's Savior, the one who came to save us in that little child, that vulnerable little baby. How many of you guys have seen a newborn child lately? Held one, let's say in the past 5 years even. I'm just going to tell you, it's something you need to do like periodically to remind yourself how beautiful human life really can be, how innocent, how vulnerable, and that's exactly how Jesus came into this world, as one in the line of David, our Savior. We must, you know, been thinking at that point, how could he save anyone? But you see, guys, when God says it, it's as good as done. And his purposes are fulfilled through his ways, and they don't always look like our ways. But this little child was our Savior. This little child is Christ, which means Messiah, anointed one, the one who had been prophesied of, the Lord, the King, over everything. My goodness, this little child in this manger. That's why we still celebrate it today, over 2,000 years later. It's about who he is. And then God says through the disciple John, or the apostle John here, in John chapter 1, he has a lot to say through John. In the beginning was the Word. So who was it in that manger, in that little feed trough? The Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was that in that little manger? God himself. He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Who? The Creator God. Right there in that little manger. Then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God himself in human flesh, the one full of glory. That's who that little child is. Praise God. Praise God. That's why we still celebrate it today. God says through the faithful man, Simeon, whenever they took Jesus to the temple, I love these verses here. This was an older gentleman, and he had been waiting for the consolation, the consoling of Israel. They had been slaves for a long time, and they wanted to be consoled about their situation. And so they were waiting for the Messiah to come to set them free. And so Simeon was one who waited faithfully. But he had been given a sign from God that he would not depart from this earth until he had seen the Messiah. And now listen to what he has to say when they brought Jesus into the temple at the proper time for the purification rite. And this is what Simeon has to say. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. That little baby, again, we hear Simeon's words, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then a little further on in verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. This was going to be the one who was going to come and begin to shake things up about the way they'd been disregarding God in all their decisions of life. These were supposed to be God's people in Israel, and yet they had departed from the ways of God. In fact, to such a point, God had been silent for 400 years. And now Jesus comes, this little child who's in that manger. That's why we still celebrate today. And man, we know that as soon as he began to teach, not everybody was thrilled about the things he was saying. He was there, and he caused the rising and the fall of many, didn't he? And they weren't real happy about it. In fact, they killed him. But just remember, they didn't force him. He came to give his life as that ransom for us. So, we hear what a lot of others said about him, and we realize that's why this birth was so special. But Jesus had a little teaching on this as well with his disciples as they walked along the way. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's what it boils down to, guys. We've got the Bible, tells us who he is. We've got other people who testify about who he is. The question is, who do you say that he is? Because it makes all the difference in the world for your eternity. If he is, even as a baby, the Lord of glory, the fullness of God, the Savior, the one in the line of David, the Messiah, the one who came to bear the sins of us and to die on that cross, to be Lord, which he is. The question is he your Lord? And that's something you must willingly give your life over to him and your sovereignty, so to speak. And if we don't, you see, what we're actually saying is, I don't believe what they said about him. If I won't give my life to Jesus, then I'm saying, I'm my boss, I am my Lord, I will follow me. But you see, guys, as soon as we say, be my Lord, and we surrender it, then we are agreeing to go the way he takes us. Do you trust that one who came in such a humble way? I pray you do. He definitely proved that he is who he says he is. He definitely proved his love for us. Because he didn't stay in the manger, did he? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Wow, what an incredible Savior we have. Every other religion of the world is people trying to get to God through their works, and through their achievements, and through what they have to offer. But in Christianity, God came to us. That's why we celebrate Christmas. God with us, Emmanuel. I pray that your heart is with him today. If it's not, praise God, it's not too late. You have today. And you can make that decision right here in this place. God's calling your heart. Just surrender your heart to Him. And Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and I'm going to turn away from all that. I'm going to repent. That's what that means. And I'm going to follow Jesus from this point on because I believe He is the Savior. Let's pray. Dear Father, bless this congregation today. My heart is just really touched today, Lord, that You would come to save us. Thank You, Jesus. And Lord, I am just so thankful because I sure couldn't save myself. No amount of good works was going to erase the bad that I've done. Lord, before You, if I would have stood before You without Jesus, then all of the stain of all of my sin would have been ever before me, being like unclothed or naked before You. But Lord, because of Jesus covering me with His righteousness, when You look at me, You see Him. I want to thank You. Let me never take that for granted, but every time I think about that manger, I think about the Lord of glory coming to earth. Oh, thank You, Jesus. If there's anybody here that hasn't really surrendered their life to You, Lord, and they're realizing it right now, pray today would be the day for them to surrender. They can come forward and do that up here, because at some point they will have to go public with it. You say, whoever confesses with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believes in your heart that God raised Him from the dead shall be saved. So Lord, let it be today for anyone who's ready. In Jesus' name, amen.